This week's Haftarah, Parshas Ki Tsetse, is in Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Nun Dalid, a very short Haftarah, just all of 10 psukim from the beginning of the Perek, beginning with Rani Akara Lo Yalada. And the Navi here is speaking Bederach Mashal to the city of Yerushalayim, comparing Yerushalayim to a childless woman who has never given birth. And the Navi calls out to Yerushalayim, Rani Akara, the barren woman, Yerushalayim, you should sing, praise. The barren woman who has not given birth should sing out in praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pitzchi Rina, open your mouth in song. Bitzahali, and rejoice. Lochala, you, Yerushalayim, you've never endured the pains of childbirth. And yet, nonetheless, ki rabim b'nei shomema. Now all of a sudden, your children, the sons of the desolate one, referring to Yerushalayim, are greater in numbers mibnei ve'ula, from the sons of the married woman, the mother, referring to the nation of Edom, Rome, who exiled us. Amar Hashem, God has declared. So whereas Yerushalayim is compared to a woman who is an Isha Akara, Lo Yalada, never had children, but she is being told to call out and sing in joyous song, because despite never having had children, despite never having given birth, all of a sudden, when it comes time for a ge'ula, there will be so many multitudes of children, meaning Jewish people returning to Yerushalayim, that the desolate one, Yerushalayim, will suddenly have more sons, more children than the non-Jews who had exiled her, than Edom, who was referred to as the Be'ula, as the married mother of children. Yerushalayim will have many more children than Edom will when it comes time for the Jews to return to Yerushalayim. So this is the opening line in the Navi here. And now this is Yeshaya talking. Yeshaya HaNavi is talking before Golos of Bayis Rishon, before Churban Bayis Rishon, and he is already giving a chizuk speech, a reassurance speech, that despite the Churban that will unfold, there will be subsequently a wonderful Geula that we can look forward to and to anticipate. And so much so, the Navi continues with this mashal, that the desolate one, Yerushalayim, will suddenly be blessed with so many multitudes of children, that in Pasuk Beis, the Navi declares to Yerushalayim, Harchivi Mekom Ahalech, widen the area of your tent. It's almost like, get ready right now, it's going to be happening. In other words, try to imagine, make it as real as possible, that the redemption is coming, it's at hand. Widen your tent, the Yerios Mishkan Osayach, and the curtains of the tent, widen them as well. Yatu, tilt them at a wider angle. Al Tachsochi, don't refrain, don't hold back, don't limit them. Why? Because, once again, Ha'arichi Meisarayach, you should even lengthen the, again, describing the tent, the ropes that hold the tent down, lengthen them, because you have to widen your tent. V'sedosayich chazeki, and strengthen those pegs, those large nails that you pound into the ground to hold the tent in place. So the Navi is describing in very vivid terms, widen your tent, stretch the tent, make the ropes longer, pound the pegs of the tent back into the ground. Why? Once again, Pasuk Gimel, Ki Yamin Usmol Tifrotzi. Think of L'Chadodi for a moment. Ki Yamin Usmol Tifrotzi, because you're going to spread out right and left. Bizarech, and your descendants will be so many, your children, goyim yirash, that they will have to inherit even other nations because there's no room for them. The arim nishamos yoshivu, they will settle in desolate cities. So this is the reassuring nevuah being given to Yerushalayim by Yeshayahu HaNavi. And as I have done in the past, it's always so remarkable when reading these haftaras now to just look at what has happened, in fact, in recent history. You look at just a recent, relatively recent, of course, survey of the population of Yerushalayim, Jewish population. So whereas in 1850 or so, just to give a rough estimate, there was nothing beyond the old city walls. Yerushalayim in 1850 was all enclosed within the old city walls. You walked out of the old city walls and all you saw was barren, dirt, desert land. There was nothing there. Yeah, Moshe Montefiore with the inheritance left behind by Judah Turo of the United States, then purchased some land, ultimately to start a neighborhood outside the old city walls for the first time, but mid-1800s, there was nothing beyond the old city walls, nothing. The Jewish population then, 7,000 Jews in Yerushalayim in the mid-1800s. And give it 100 years, 1948, and all of a sudden, from 7,000 Jews in the 1840s, roughly speaking, in 1948, you now have 100,000 Jews, just like that, in the span of a century. From 7,000 Jews to 100,000 Jews. So you're talking about Harchivi Makom HaLeich, widen your tent, expand your capacity from within the old city walls in the 1840s, 7,000 Jews, and that was it. 100 years later, 1948, 100,000 Jews, they can't fit in the old city walls anymore. All of a sudden now, the city has expanded way beyond the old city walls. And from 100,000 Jews in 1948, give it another 75 years, and now here we are, 2023, the population of Jews in Yerushalayim has multiplied more than five times over. Now, as of this year, 595,000 Jews, almost 600,000 Jews in Yerushalayim. So we're almost talking a six-fold increase in a century. So from one century, 1840s, 1940s, 7,000 to 100,000, that's more than a 12-fold increase. And then in another 100 years, 1940s, well, 75 years, 1940s to 2023, almost a six-fold increase to just about 600,000 Jews. It's amazing. So for hundreds of years, the Jews are reading this Navi, this Haftarah, and Sefer Yeshaya, and they're waiting. Hachivi Mekamo Haleich, Yerias Mishkan Osayach. If you recall from the shir we gave a few weeks ago, describing the Aliyah of the Shlah to Yerushalayim in the 1600s. And he was talking excitedly then about how there are already a few thousand Jews in Yerushalayim. Imagine, 1600s, the Shlah was so excited about seeing a few thousand Jews in Yerushalayim. And he was talking about Geulahs at hand in the 1600s. And now here we are, after centuries of Jews reading this Nevuah over the years of Gaulus, all of a sudden now there are 600,000 Jews in Yerushalayim alone. So expand your tent, we're telling the city of Yerushalayim, because Rabim b'nei shomema mibnei be'ula, there are far more Jewish children of Yerushalayim, so to speak, than there are Edomite children, or for that matter, Muslim children in Yerushalayim. Remarkable, just to read the Nevuah and to put it into historical perspective and apply it to contemporary times. And Rav Gamliel Rabinovitz comments as well, when the Navi speaks of Yisedosayich Chazeki, strengthen your pegs of your tent. Pashup Shad is, your tent is being expanded, we don't want it to fall. Secure it. He suggests that B'derech Hadrush perhaps, B'derech Musar perhaps, as Geula approaches, make sure the foundations of the Jewish home are strong and firm. He said, Osayech Chazeki, the pegs of the tent have to be strengthened. Pound them into the ground a little harder. As anyone can see, society today has, from a ethical moral perspective has declined so rapidly, comparatively speaking, to what was once a century ago, half a century ago. It is rapidly declining. And when the values of Torah are under siege, so the Navi is telling us, says Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Navitz, Yisera Sai Chazeki, pound in, reinforce those pegs that hold up the Jewish tent, the Jewish home. Stand firm, because in the days and the months and the years preceding Geula, it's going to be some tumultuous times. You have to be sure that the Jewish value system of the Jewish home is held intact. Pasuk Dalid. The Navi now reassures Klal Yisrael, having just described this remarkable return to Eretz Yisrael, return to Yerushalayim. The Navi now, and it's almost as if he is addressing the fact that, as we know, the first return after Churban Bayis Rishon was not long term. Right, the Golos bubble was 70 years. Then came Ezra HaSofer, returned with Nehemiah to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, built Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni was never what Bayis Rishon was. It was always deficient, if you will, relative to Bayis Rishon. And it didn't last. It was followed by Churban Bayis Sheni 420 years later. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in his Emes LeYaakov, and this Sefer Mishpat Ozov cites from other Mefarshim as well, it appears that Bayis Sheni and the return from Galus Bavel was never meant to be a permanent geula. It was never meant to be permanent. That's why the Bayis Sheni was so lacking, or Metumim, Aron, etc. It was rather meant to be a re-energizer, if you will. Klal Yisrael were in danger in Bavel of assimilating. We know from the Navi that there were so many intermarried Jews that Ezra had to give them Musar, divorce your non-Jewish wives. Jews were intermarried, they were Mechalei Shabbos. They were in danger of complete assimilation. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes that this return to Eretz Yisrael was a temporary re-energizer in a spiritual sense, just to re-fortify Klal Yisrael before they went out into the real Golus, the Golus that followed by Bayis Sheni, which was the real long Golus. It wasn't a 70 years in Babel. It has been thousands of years. So the Bayis Sheni was never meant to be a long-term geula. It was a call it a rest stop. It was a reinvigoration of Ruchnius reserves to tolerate and endure the terrible Golus that followed. So what the Navi now seems to be saying is that, knowing this, that the return from Golus Babel did not last long, relatively speaking. It was followed by a Churban Bayis Sheni. It was followed by a Golus Edom. The Navi now is reassuring Klal Yisrael, don't be afraid that the Geula that I'm talking about now, the ultimate Geula coming back from Golus Edom, will also be short-lived. Don't be afraid that this too, will only be short-term. No, Al Tiri, don't be afraid. Ki lo sevoshi. You won't be shamed. Once again, the echoes of the Chadodi here. You won't be shamed. The Al Tikolmi, you won't be embarrassed. Ki lo sachpiri. Again, more of the same. You won't be humiliated. Kivoshes alumayach tishkachi, the shame of your youth will be forgotten, you'll forget. The cherpas al menusayach lo tizkuri od, and the embarrassment of your widowed years will not be mentioned any further. Now, what does this mean? Don't be afraid. So we said already that means don't fear another galus will follow. It won't. This is the final gula we're talking about here. But then these numerous repetitive, seemingly synonymous words referring to lo sevoshi, al tikomi, lo sachpiri. What is this all about? So the Malbim writes very interestingly as follows. He says the term lo sevoshi, the term boshes, one and the same, busha. That's a reference to the shame that is self-inflicted as a result of one's sinful behavior. So the Navi is telling us, when we come back at the final geula, don't be afraid. Kilo sevoshi, you will no longer be sinful to bring about shame. Or as the next phrase in the end of the second half of the pasuk says, ki boshes alumayach, the shame of your youth, meaning your sinful ways when you were still living in Eretz Yisrael, tishkachi, will be forgotten, because God will forgive you for those sins that you committed back then. And the phrase va'al tikalmi klima, that's this word here, says the Malbim, is a reference to others insulting us, others embarrassing us, others humiliating us. So after the geula, the final geula, we no longer will be subject to the insults of the goyim. And that's the last phrase as well. Kilo sachpiri, cherpas al minusayach, the shame that you endured when you were in widowhood, when you had been already exiled, and the goyim were mocking us, mocking us, mocking us. Lo tiz kriod, that will no longer be mentioned any longer either. So here again, the reassurance that this ge'ula will be the final ge'ula, the final ge'ula. Meaning now that we're living to see Shivas Tzion once again, this is it. This is the final return, the final return. I believe it was Rav Herzog who, during the Second World War, when earlier on it looked likely that Erwin Rommel, the German general known as the Desert Fox, who was sweeping through North Africa, would make his way through Egypt and ultimately end up in Palestine and Eretz Yisrael. And some expressed concern, what's going to be of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael? And Rav Herzog said, the Medrash Tanchuma tells us that when the Jews return to Eretz Yisrael the final time, that will be it. They're not leaving. Nothing to worry about. This is our final return to Eretz Yisrael. We're here to stay. We're not going to be expelled. And remarkably, ultimately, as history has shown us, Rommel was defeated, in unexpectedly so, never made it to Eretz Yisrael, even though that was a very, very real, vivid fear for some time. The Navi continues in Pasuk Hey. Ki bo alayich osayich. Your husband, again, referring to this mashal of Yerushalayim as a woman. So bo alayich, your master, your husband perhaps, Osayach, the one who has made you, who has exalted you. Hashem Tzvakos Shemo, that's God. Vigoalech, and the one who redeems you. Kedosh Yisrael is the one who is sanctified, declared holy by Klal Yisrael. The Malbim writes that when Klal Yisrael is mekadesh shem shemayim by our behavior, so then that's what brings about God being referred to as Kedosh Yisrael. Elokei kol ha'aretz yikarei. God is referred to as the God of the entire world. So there's nothing to be afraid of. The God will no longer insult us. They will no longer humiliate us. Everyone will know and declare that God is master of the universe. And once again, going back to that mashal, the Navi then says in Pasuk Vav, Ki ki'isha azuva va'atsuvas ruach k'ra'ach Hashem. Klal Yisrael, or perhaps Yerushalayim, is like a woman who has been abandoned, who is now terribly depressed. So she has been called by God. This refers, as the Malbim, to Klal Yisrael and Golus, after having sinned, like the woman who has been expelled by her husband. And then the pasuk says, "Ve'eshes ne'urim," the wife of the youth, "Kisimois amar elokayach." That says the Malbim refers to Klal Yisrael still living in Eretz Yisrael, but sinfully so. At the earlier stage, when one's wife is misbehaving, generating a lot of dislike, a lot of tension, before the parting of ways, so to speak. This is the Eshes Ne'urim Kisima'es Amar Lekayach. When Klal Yisrael, when Yerushalayim was the youthful wife who was looked down upon, disliked, Kisima'es, because of her inappropriate actions and behavior. So this is the mashal that I'll be speaking of with regard to Yerushalayim. And again, the idea of Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a marriage relationship, our chatoim, our sinful behavior, creating a disenchantment in the marriage, and ultimately resulting in a separation, a parting of ways. That's the Eshes Ne'urim, that's the Isha Azuva. But now, again, we are reassuring Klal Yisrael that this is now all coming to an end. We're now being restored to the original happy state that the marriage once was. Berega katon azavtich, which one interpretation means, in retrospect, once Geula occurs, when we look back at the period of abandonment and separation, it will appear as if it was just one brief moment. Berega katon azavtich. In retrospect, the Geula will be so overwhelming, it will be so remarkable, it will be so miraculous, that when we then look back at the times of Galus, it will look as if it was a rega katon, a brief, fleeting moment of abandonment. Berega katon azavtich. Uverachamim gedolim akabtzeich. And that's because the return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael will be berachamim gedolim. It will be with such great mercy that it will so overshadow the period of galus, the period of abandonment, that it will make it look as if it was a brief, fleeting moment in time. Now, one other interpretation which Rav Gamliel Ben Avot suggests, which is the following. Berega katon azavtich, that sometimes even a brief moment of distance from God results in abandonment. Again, the Pashup Shat, the Mefarshim say, means that in retrospect, after the Geula, looking back at the Galus, it will look at, like as if it was just a short, brief moment in time. But there's a Musar here, says Rav Gamliel Ben Avot. Berega katon azavtich, even one brief moment of distance from HaKadosh Baruch Hu results in azavtich, in abandonment. And he cites what is an oft-cited passage in the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, Chelek Gimel, Perek Nun Aleph. The Rambam is speaking about the importance of always being God-aware. Always being God-aware. God has to be at the forefront of our consciousness. Rambam writes as follows. Rambam says, an individual who never loses focus, never ceases to think of God in the world, so then, tit for tat, it's not the right way to say it, but so too, God will never remove his oversight from this individual. A Jew who's always thinking of God, so therefore, in reward for that, tia hashgacha botamid, God's direct supervision will always be upon that Jew. But says the Rambam, a person who from time to time, you know, forgets God. From time to time, you know, God's not part of his world awareness. So at that moment, says the Rambam, the hashgacha that a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides that individual will also be somewhat withdrawn. You know, a Jew who acknowledges God's existence when he's in shul, but when he's off at work and doing business, all of a sudden God's in his back pocket somewhere, kind of not really so part of his day-to-day. Okay, so Rambam says such a Jew, okay, God will provide him with a greater degree of hashgacha in the shul, but when he's off in business, so the hashgacha is lessened, so to speak. And Rambam then writes, he says, I think, says the Rambam, that if someone ever suffers an unfortunate experience, it occurs at a moment when that individual had forgotten about God. As it's a two-way street here. The longer one goes without being God-aware, so then the more vulnerable one is to that unfortunate experience to occur. Because when one doesn't think of God, one is then distant from God. And then one is vulnerable. Now Rambam concludes by saying that hester panim, which is what he's describing, concealment, when God is unseen, we are responsible for causing it. We put up the curtain. By us forgetting about God, not thinking about God, that's what generates concealment. That's what generates hester panim. Hashem tzilcha al yadi minecha, says Baal Shem Tov, God is one's shadow. How I act, so too God acts with regard to me. I forget about God, God kiviyocha forgets about me.
it's all about me and what I do to make the relationship stronger, or what I sometimes do, sadly, to make the relationship more distant. So that suggests, Rav Gamliel ben Avitz, is what is implied here in the pasuk as well. Berega katon azavtich. All it takes is one brief moment, and if a person isn't God aware, azavtich, he makes himself vulnerable to separation from God, to abandonment. And that's what causes gas, that's what causes yisurim, that's what causes sorrows. So it's really ultimately all up to us. Pasuk Ches, B'shetzef ketzef. B'shetzef ketzef. With just a small amount of anger. B'shetzef ketzef. Just a small amount of anger. Histarti panai rega mimeich. I have concealed my face, says God, for a moment from you. Once again, the same idea. Just one rega, one moment of concealment, of histarti panai rega mimeich, that's what results in the gullus that we've been describing. However, at the same time, uvechesed olam richamtich. But with remarkable, eternal kindness, I have had compassion upon you. Amar Galech Hashem, says your Redeemer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, the Navi then adds what has become a famous phrase, a comparison here. Kimei Noach Zos Li. This is like the flood waters of Noach. How so? Asher nishbati me'avor mei Noach od al haaretz. I took an oath, says God, never once again to bring a flood upon the entire earth. So too, Cain, here's the comparison. So too nishbati miktsof alayach umig arbach. Just as I took an oath never to bring the flood of Noach again upon the earth, so too I have taken an oath never to become angry at Klal Yisrael again in this way. Just like that, so to this. So again, a reassurance. Now, as Navi's telling Klal Yisrael, don't be afraid of a galus yet again. Once this geula occurs, that's going to be it. That's going to be it. You know, Klal Yisrael will never, ever suffer that galus again, that abandonment again. And finally, ki harim yamushu. The mountains might move, v'hagvos t'mutena. The hilltops might also be moved, but nonetheless, v'chasti me'itech lo yamush, my kindness will never abandon you. Uvris shlomi lo samut, and my covenant of peace with you will never be moved. Amar merachamech Hashem, so says God who has compassion upon you. So, in addition to the shavua, never to destroy Klal Yisrael, the Ganavi is saying that even if it were to be that the mountains and the hilltops will move, nonetheless, my chesed, my bris, my covenant, my promise to you will never, ever be moved whatsoever. Rashi says that the mountains and the hilltops represent the zchus avos and the zchus imahos. Even if we are no longer able to tap into zchus avos, but regardless, Kadosh Baruch Hu's chesed and Kadosh Baruch Hu's bris with Klal Yisrael will never ever be in any which way undermined. Just to conclude with an interesting comment of the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni in this pasuk, ki harim yamushu v'hagvos timotena. Even if zechus avos and zechus imos is no longer available for us to tap into, nonetheless, v'chasdi me'itech lo yamush, my chesed will never leave you. So the Yalkut Shimoni understands that as follows. Yalkut says, Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanan b'shem Rabbi Berechya says,
Imra Isa Zuchus Avos Shemata, if you see, if you fear that the Zuchus Avos is no longer available for you to tap into. Uschus Imahos Shenismotata, if you fear that the Zuchus Imahos also is no longer standing up for you. So what does the Pasuk say? V'chasdi me'itech lo yamush. Meaning, even if you fear that the Zuchus Avos and Zuchus Imahos has been already exhausted. Chasdi me'itech lo yamush, says the Yalkut, that means Leich hidavek begemilas chasadim. You can always, always tap into the schus of doing chesed. Just tap into the schus of chesed. The schus of chesed is always available to us. Even if schus avos, even if schus imos isn't any longer available to us, chasdi me'itech lo yamush, tap into the schus of gemilas chesed. That will always be available to us. Always be available to us. So says, again, the first interpretation, the Yaakov Shimoni. That's a beautiful, beautiful musar just to bear in mind. When all else fails, it seems, when we're talking about Galus and Geula and what's going to bring the Geula, even if we've exhausted all of our schus avos, schus imos, chesed, 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 chasdi me'itech lo yamush, that's always going to be there. That is the secret, says the Yaakov, to tap into, to guarantee protection from a tzara in Golos, and to bring about the Geula. Okay.